chapter of the book of Genesis that I want to read and eventually get around to. The 16th verse, Genesis chapter 17, or chapter 7, verse 16. And I'll read it, and we'll read it again directly. And they that went in male and female, of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Now there's a couple of other passages that I'd like to read to you in conjunction with this 16th verse of the 7th chapter of the book of Genesis, and I have a reason for doing this. I was up to Henry's there and I mentioned this, and some things, I kind of got a hold of some things here. I hope I'm able to handle them. They're a little bit, what I want to say is just a little bit loose. I mean, it's a little slippery. It's a little slippery, and I'm just, you know, I haven't got it like I ought to. But I trust that the Lord will help me. Revelation chapter 6. I want to talk to you for just a minute here about the silence of God. The silence of God as an introduction to the 17th verse, or the 16th verse, the 7th chapter of the book of Genesis. The silence of God. It's been said, and I think that it's right, that God has not demonstrated himself since the closing days of the apostles. That is, when I say has not demonstrated himself, has not performed a public miracle in these past 1900 and some years, as he did when he was here on this earth. So we refer to that as the silence of heaven, the silence of God. God's silent. Can you prove there is a God? Can you prove there is a God? Can you give some definite, come to some definite conclusion by way of public miracles that there is a God who exists in heaven tonight? God has been silent for these many years. In the 6th chapter of the book of Revelation, in the 9th verse, it says, John speaking here, and when he had opened the 5th seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And these, now that were under the altar that John saw that were slain, were martyred for the cause and claims of the Lord Jesus Christ. They cried in unison with a loud voice. Their cry in unison with this loud voice was their petition, the petition of their heart, their prayer unto God. And this is what they said. They said, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Now turn with me to Psalm chapter 50 and verse number 3. Psalm 50 and verse number 3. It says in this third verse, it says that our God shall come. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. Our God shall come and not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. Now here in the book of Revelation, there in the 6th chapter, in those 3 verses that I read to you, sets forth, displays the cry of the martyred souls that John saw under the altar that was slain for the testimony of the Lamb of God. And their cry was an appeal for justice against their murders. They had been murdered in cold blood, and so they cried out to God in a fervent, heart-rendering appeal and prayer and cry against their murders for vengeance. Now, in response to their cry, the next verse says that they were given white robes, indicating that they were justified in their desire for vengeance. The white robes indicated that they were justified in their desire. They were desiring vengeance upon those that had murdered them. They said, "Oh Lord, how long, how long, how long? Will you not avenge us? Will you not come and do something?" That was their appeal. White robes was given to them, and that was the indication that they were justified in this prayer. Well, listen, while in heaven these souls slain under the altar are justified in crying for vengeance, the saints here on earth are not justified in crying for vengeance or retaliation against those that would unjustly use them or persecute them for righteousness' sake. But these in heaven are. We're to bless them and pray for them that would despitefully use us. Well, look now in verse 50. It says, "Our God shall come, and He shall not keep silent." Now, this points to the time when the cry of the martyred soul is heard and vengeance is executed. Well, listen now. Our God shall come. Our God shall come. With no evidence of it these past 2,000 years. God has not displayed Himself in raising men from the dead, demonstrated His power among the sons of men like He did when He walked this earth and back yonder in the New Old Testament when God performed the miracles and when He took up the challenge. Pharaoh challenged God, and God answered his challenge and drowned him and his whole army in the Red Sea. Huh? Oh, listen. It looks to the time when the long suffering of God will come at an end. It looks to the time when the Lord Jesus Christ shall come in judgment. Judgment, even in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon them that know not God and obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said no public miracles today like He did in other days when He was here. Webster, in his dictionary, has to say this, for what it's worth. For what it's worth. He says this. He defines a miracle as an event which cannot be accounted for as produced by any known force, or an event that demonstrates beyond dispute the existence of a personal God. A silent heaven, a silent God, is the greatest mystery in our universe. It's a problem to the saint. The saint cries out, why? The woman with the dead baby in her arms has already buried two or three babies. Her husband's left her. Her children have rebelled against her. And now, in the soulless and silence of a room, she rocks her dead baby in her arms. Why, Lord, why? Mothers who have sent their sons and daughters to foreign soils and buried them yonder there in Vietnam and in Germany and England. Why? Problem sometimes to the saints of God. Oh, listen, a silent God, a silent heaven is the greatest mystery in our existence. No public miracles today. No, sir. Oh, there's some claim to be able to perform miracles of healing. You can turn your television set on, and there's many that claims to be able to perform these miracles, but they're claims. is not above suspicion, and when they are investigated, there certainly is room for a question mark behind their miracles. And that was not the case in the days of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no question mark behind them. We read about, was it who was read here just reading about the felt? You did. Where's he at? Over here. Joe Carroll in the 9th chapter of the book of John. No question about that. He said, one thing I know. He said, he may be a sinner. I don't know. But he said, I know this. He said, I was blind as a bat. I couldn't see the hand in front of me. But he said, now I see. No question about that miracle. No question. Listen. There's an explanation over the silence of God. An explanation there, and I think I know what it is. God's silence in the face of His enemy that challenges Him to combat can be explained. These fellows that stand out in the middle of the field, in the middle of the road, and aim their guns at God, and these astronauts from Russia that goes yonder there into space and comes back and said, we didn't see him. We don't know where he is. And them fellows down in Atlanta, Georgia said, he's dead. God's dead. He's finished. I'll tell you this. God doesn't meet His enemies the first day of every month. Some fellow said there's payday someday, but it's not the first of every month with God. He'll pay back. Our God's in the heavens, and our God shall come, and He shall not be silent. Forever He'll come. There's an explanation to this. Listen, number one now, it's not because God's helpless. That's not the reason why the heavens are silent. It's not because God got too old. He got too old up there and he broke his leg or he broke his arms and he's trying to do something but he can't do it. That's not the reason. Oh, listen. He's never helpless in the face of his opponents, his enemies, those that despise him. What his soul desires, said old Job. What his soul desires. Even that he doeth. Whatever he wants to do, he does. It's not because he does not care. Huh? It's not because he does not care. God cares for us. So I can't understand that. Can't understand meaning God cares for me to got a dead baby. Oh, listen, we walk by faith, not by sight. God cares. He cares. It's not because God is an indifferent, unloving, unkind, unjust Father, He cares. He says, cast all your cares upon me. What a blessing. What a promise there. Would to God that I was able to do that. Would that I could roll up all of my burdens, all of my cares, all of my anxieties, all of these worries and problems and difficulties, pangs that I can't hurdle. Wish that I could roll them up. Wish that I could cast them upon Him. Why am I not able to cast them upon Him? He said, cast them upon me. I care for you. Whether anybody else in the world cares for you, He does. He does. You may not have a friend in this world. Your wife may not love you. It's hard to tell. You don't know for sure. And you don't know for sure whether He loves you. But listen, I know that I'm just talking here, trying to make a point. You see, can't be sure of anything in this life. Can't be sure. He that you trusted, He might get you tomorrow. Can't be sure. But bless God, J.D., you can be sure of this. You can be sure of it. You can write it down. You can write it down, boy. I'll tell you this, that God cares for His own. He cares. He's not silent because He doesn't care. He cares. He loves His own. He loves His own. You'll see the full expression of it one of these days. He said, come on. Come on, he said, come on over. Come on. You'll say, have I finally made it? He'll say, welcome. Come on. Listen, it's not because God's helpless. It's not because He doesn't care. It's not because God doesn't know what's going on. He knows what's going on. God's silence does not mean that He's quit the God business. It doesn't mean that He's vacated His throne. Oh no, He's still reigning and working all things after the counsel of His own will. God's silence is not due to the lack of faith on the part of his people, as these fellows on the television tell us. I know that we don't have faith like we ought to have, but this is not the reason that God is silent and has been silent these many. That's not it. No, sir. Oh, it's the silence. Let me tell you what it is now. Told you what it is not, but this is what it is. This is the reason that God is silent. It's the silence which is the pledge and the proof that the way is still open for the guiltiest sinner to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason the heavens are silent. This is the day of grace. This is the day. Now, we hear the preachers say oft times when he's preaching, they say, now is the time. Now is the day of salvation. Not right now, not tomorrow, not an hour from now. It's right now, right now. Bow your soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. Submit yourself to Him now, right now. That's the reason. The silence of these 2,000 years is a pledge and it's a proof that the way is open for the guiltiest sinner outside of hell to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and embrace Him. It's an assurance that we're living in the day of salvation. You know, when men beg for God to break His silence and show His hand, and that's what they're doing on the television. Jimmy Swaggart and these fellas, Rex Humbard and what's that fellow there in Canton, Ohio, that shoves them people all the time? What's his name?
Ernest Ainsley.
And them fellas, they're begging God, break your silence. Break your silence. Do this, do that. They command God. They tell God, oh, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We command this devil to get out. We command it. We command. They start commanding. What they want God to break His silence. They want God to show His hand. Show His hand. If I could see your hand, I'd do something. Oh, my soul, God will not break His silence. No, not until the appointed time. It's an assurance that we're living in the day of salvation. And when men beg for God to break His silence and show His hand, they don't know that it will mean the withdrawal of amnesty, and it'll close this day of grace. And when God comes, everything comes with Him. Eternity comes with Him. And He's going to wind this thing all up. And brother, ain't going to be no salvation. And that's the reason. Oh, it will be the shutting of the door of the ark. It'll be the shutting of the door of the ark of salvation. And when God shuts it, no man will open it. No man will open it when He shuts it. Listen. It'll be the dawning of the day of the wrath of God. Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord. Knowing the terror of the Lord. Knowing the awfulness that will befall the individual that goes through this life day in and day out, day in and day out, day in and day out, with his fist balled up and cursing God in his heart. Oh, Paul said, we know what's going to befall that fellow. Oh, we know the terror of the Lord. God must punish sin. God will punish sin. And every sinner that doesn't have a refuge, every sinner that doesn't have a sacrifice, every sinner that doesn't have a righteousness, every sinner is not justified before God, every sinner that hasn't felt His need, every sinner that hasn't bowed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I know the terror of the Lord. I know what's going to take place. He said, I know what I'm talking about. He said, this fellow's going to talk. He said, I was lifted up into the third heaven, whether in the body or in the spirit, in the flesh, I don't know. But he said, I know what's there. And I've seen some things. And he said, knowing the power of the Lord, I persuade men, be reconciled with God. He persuaded men. Some people are afraid to persuade him. I'm not. Paul did. I'm in good company. You say, well, you're doing this. I don't care what you think. Listen to me. I don't care about that. I'm telling you that Paul persuaded men. And I'm persuading men. If I can persuade you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, well, I know, as well as Paul knew, that nobody can come to the Lord Jesus Christ by persuasion only. Listen to me. I know that the Word of God must be in the hands of the Spirit of God. He must convince. He must convict. He must bring the man to the Lord. I know that, but I still persuade me. I still do that. I want you to come, my God. I still want you to come. Know of the terror of the Lord. All right, turn with me then. Over there to the book of, with that said. With that, isn't that the way they preach? With that said. With that said, let me say this. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Well, it says that the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth, and the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered, 15 cubits of it, and so forth. Verse 21, and all flesh died. All flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of the fowl and the cattle and the beast, the creeping things upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, D-I-E-D, died. And every living and substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground. Man, cattle, and creepeth things, the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth, and only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. Now what happened? Noah was a sinner. Noah was a sinner. The Bible says he's a preacher of righteousness. Said he's a preacher of righteousness. But he is a sinner. He is a sinner. His sins must be punished. Was his sins punished? Certainly was. God punished Noah in the ark. The wrath of God fell upon the ark. Where is Noah? In the ark. Huh? Where is he? He's in the ark, wasn't he? Is God going to let anybody go scot-free? Nobody's going to go scot-free. Sin must be punished. We said here last night, sin must be punished, or God's got to give up the idea of being God. That's all they are to it. Sin will be punished. Noah's sin was punished. It's punished in the ark. He was in the ark, and the wrath of God fell upon the ark, and everybody wasn't in the ark. What happened to them? All of them. Every one of them. The Lord shut him in. Mercy's gate was shut. And the time of the long suffering of God had come to a close. That's all it was. He that openeth and no man shutteth. A barrier between those inside and those outside. The door of the ark is wide open. Our business right now is to compel men and women. Come in the ark. Come in the ark. The door is still open. God's silent. God's silent. When he breaks his silence, his hand's coming down. It'll be too late then. Come into the ark. Come into the ark. Judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. Come into the ark. Christ is the ark. Christ is our refuge. Christ is our safety. Come into the ark. Cleave to him, Jim said. Cleave to him. Stick to him. Trust in him. That blind man said, he said, well, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he said, who is he? He said, I'm he who speaks. He said, I believe. Was he saved? Well, you mean he didn't do this, he didn't do that? But says, I believe. He said, well, who are you? He said, who? This fellow right here is going to talk. He said, I'm the Son. He said, I believe. I believe. Oh, I believe tonight. I believe tonight. Help thou my unbelief. Lord willing, by the grace of God, I'm going to believe tomorrow. In the ark. In the ark. Oh. Oh, listen, shut them in. Shut them in. All right, listen to this now. Noah was shut in. His family, they're shut in. They went in the ark. But the others were shut out. The same hand that shut Noah and his family in, shut the others out. Is that right? Shut out to die, lost forever. Lost. You know what it means to be lost? Boy, man ever finds himself lost. Woo! I had a fellow one time. We was hunting. We was way back on top of the mountains in West Virginia. And snow about 6 inches deep. Wind blowing. We was walking. We in a big basin. Big basin about 3 miles before we parked the car. About six of us took through that deep snow and got way out to the edge of that basin. Going to watch that basin. Well, one of the fellows was with us after about 3 hours. He got tired. And he said, how do you get out of here? And I said, just go straight. Right straight through there. And I said, when you come to that little lip of the hill, just drive to the top of it, and you'll come into an old tram road. Stay to your left on that tram road, you'll come right into the car. He said, that's no problem. I'll find that. He took off. That snow, we stayed there till about 3 o'clock. It's going to get dark around 4:30. We stayed there and started out, and we got out. I kept telling Glenn, was with me, Glenn Shree. I said, wonder where Fred is. Suppose he got back? Well, yeah, he's supposed. We got on out through there in the laurel and in the brush. And we heard something just making an awful noise up on the side of that hill. I mean, making a noise. It just sounded like a horse that broke loose and running through the laurel. Just slappity bang, just go on and on. And I told Glenn, I said, that's Fred. I said, that's Fred. And I said, hey, Fred. I said, hey, Fred. He said, where's the road? I said, hey, Fred. He said, where's the road? I said, hey, Fred. He said, where's the road? I'm lost, buddy. I'm lost. I ain't gonna have to tell me where the road is before you tell me anything else. I don't hear nothing else. Just tell me where the road is. He said, I've been beating the brush up here for about 3 hours. Where's the road? I tell the truth, Glenn. Where's the road? You're lost. I'm so lost. What would it be like to be lost forever? I lost forever. Before Fred come down, he'd been in the National Guard or something. He had all them army clothes on. And I'll tell you, he is so hot. He is so hot, he fell down in that 6 inches of snow and laid there for a little bit, and when we rolled him over, just melted out the form of a man. And I ain't just preaching either. I'm telling you the truth. That's what happened. Shut out. Lost forever. Who were these people? Who were these people that were shut out and lost forever? There's a people that had been preached to. There wasn't the people that were not preached to. They'd been preached to. They'd been preached to practically every day. They were a people that had been preached to. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Someone said he fulfilled his office well. I like that about Noah. He fulfilled his office well. A faithful preacher. Well, the people of his generation were not left to perish without light. They heard the Word of God. And listen to this. They heard the Word of God. They heard the gospel of the substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus Christ, which the ark pictured, and Noah knew something about it. A man can't be a preacher of righteousness and not know what the righteousness of God is. Amen. He preached the gospel of redeeming grace. And listen to me now. They were a people that was preached to by a preacher who preached the gospel of redeeming grace for 120 years. They had the same preacher. The same preacher as the people has preached to. Same preacher preached to them every day and twice on Sunday. to get in the ark, get in the ark, get in the ark, get in the ark. Judgment's coming. But they wouldn't listen. It didn't strike their heart. A lot of folks, that's folks like this here tonight. I'm not persuaded that everybody in this crowd is dead and sure and certain about this business of salvation. People have been preached to here. They've got in their head. Some of you know the doctrine. Some of you, boy, to fight to defend your doctrines. Brother, that's not where it's at. It's in the ark. You've been in the ark, in Christ, in Christ. That's where it's at. It's Christ. It's not your doctrine. It's not your methods. I don't care about whether you got a Sunday school or you haven't got a Sunday school. It'll make no difference. Are you in the ark? That's what I want. Are you in the ark? Are you in Christ? I don't care about how much you know about the 5 points of Calvinism. Someone said here last night, God's going to preach on the 10 points of Calvinism. I don't care how much you know about it. In the ark. That's worth that. These people had been preached to for 120 years by the same preacher. And he's a preacher of righteousness. And when it was all said and done, there's 8 people on that ark. And a whole world of people shut out because they refused to get on the ark. They refused to get on. What else can you say? How are you going to explain that, Bill? They refused to get on the ark. Huh? Well, who were they? There are people that had been preached to. They'd been a people that had been prayed for over and over and over again. They were a people that had been employed by Noah to cut the trees. Some of them cut the trees out there in the forest. And then there was others that after the trees were cut, they got the oxen, or whatever beast of burden they used then, and drug the logs to the mill. And then there were others that shaped the logs. They cut the trees down. They brought the trees in, they shaped the logs, but yet had no part in the ark. Sad, isn't it? Isn't that sad? They built the building. They built the church building. They built it. Many religious workers. Yeah, I'm going to quit. You're hot and I'm hot. But listen, there's a people that had seen great wonders. Half the world had gathered to see camels and elephants and eagles and peacocks and snails and worms and four-legged dogs all come running or flying or creeping or crawling in the ark. 500,000 people seen that. What about that? Would that get your attention? I believe that'd get my attention if I seen 2 elephants come walking down the road. 2 giraffes come walking down the road. Huh? 2 four-legged dogs behind them. And 2 bears behind them. And a couple eagles swooping down behind them. And 2 of every living thing. I believe that'd get my attention. I believe it ought to get their attention. I believe it ought to get your attention. I believe that it ought to get your attention to see what I'm saying, that if the door is shut, and that's it's going to be shut, I don't know when, but one of these days, God said, my long suffering is over with, my eternal purpose is complete, it's finished, I'm coming back, I'm going to make my enemies the footstool of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said, I'm going to punish sin. Okay? Over with. Well, listen, there's a sight that's never been seen before. Come in pairs, 2 by 2. What a sight. Many saw it, Bill, and confessed. They said, God's hand's in this. Man couldn't see that and say otherwise. Had to say, well, God's hand's in this. But they didn't enter in the ark themselves. Notice what they did. Let me tell you what they did. This is what it says they did over in the New Testament. It says that in light of all of that, this is what they did. They ate, they drank, they married till the day that Noah entered into the ark. Isn't that right? All together taken up with what? The big I. T taken up with self, taken up with this world. Like most people do, they live as if life here was all there is to it. How sad. What became of them? Who were they? What became of them? Well, the door was shut. They died without hope. Died without hope. I'll close with this. If an angel should tell me tonight, say, all your hearers here shall be saved but one. You've got to pick out the one who'll be shut out of heaven. Look them all over. Take a long time in making your choice. And I looked them all over and weighed all the circumstances and all of that with each individual as I looked at it. Took a long time. And at the conclusion, I said, I can't take that responsibility. Marking out that doomed man. I can't take that responsibility. I can't do it. Lord, save every one of them. Lord, save every one. Save every one under the sound of my voice. But listen. But you will do for yourself what I won't do. All right? You won't get in the army. I want the Lord to save every one of you. Get in the army. The Lord bless you.